Good morning. We are continuing our study of this book, The Altitude of Prayer, by Joel Goldsmith. We're on chapter 6, Pray Without Ceasing. All right, so let's enter into the consciousness of the one who delivered this message. Take a few moments or minutes, become still, enter your secret place of the Most High, and listen. And so my prayer would be that everyone listening receives him in whatever way that is revealed to you. He begins with, every human being is born under the law, not under grace. In John 1:16 we read, or 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we are born under the law of Moses, where we need the Ten Commandments to tell us how to live. Because without the Ten Commandments, we're basically barbarians. It's every man for himself and survival of the fittest. But Moses came along, and in his spiritual experience, he realized the I am that I am. But he couldn't give that to the people. In no way were they ready for that. So he gave them 10 commandments and the law, and how to live in harmony with it. And that was about as far as people could reach. But then Jesus Christ came along, and he said, there are 2 commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So really there's 1, love. So he begins here with everybody's born under the law. Did you know that? But because of our spiritual sonship, we can make the transition from being under the law to being under the Christ, or being under grace. Do you live under grace? Can you understand what it would mean to go through life under a grace that would feed, clothe, and house you, that would prevent illness and accidents, and if they did occur, immediately heal them? How would it be to go through life knowing that you no longer needed to take thought for your life, and that you were living under a grace that could bring forth for you the heritage of heaven? I believe that in the beginning of our contact with the infinite way, we feel that, or we believe, or we perceive that grace will produce an automobile, or Grace will bring me a house, a beautiful house, or Grace will bring me that perfect companion, or Grace will give me new health. It will quicken my mortal body. And that's about as far as we can go. But when we live with the writings and the talks, the tapes, or the MP3s nowadays, we begin to open up like that rosebud. Slowly we open up. Like the lotus. And what we open up to is first that I don't have to live by taking thought. There's a divine presence that will go before me. Here, let's hear how he puts it here. Can you conceive of life lived with the divine presence going before you to make straight the way and to prepare mansions for you? That is the life the Master proclaimed and taught, and the life he promised to those who follow his teachings. Such a life is possible, but how can the transition be made? The transition from law to grace. And really, that should be the question. How do I make that transition? And this is only a stop on the way. A momentary pause as we learn to live under grace. But later, on this journey, we will learn how to bear witness to grace living us. But for today, let's continue here. From the very beginning of modern metaphysics, over 100 years ago, well, let's see, he made these talks in the 60s and sent these letters out. So 100 years plus 63 years, 163 years. From the very beginning of modern metaphysics, over 163 years ago, there have been those whose lives have been changed, remodeled, and made new by these teachings. Strangely, however, in the same metaphysical movements where some have experienced miraculous changes, others, after years of study, will say that it has not benefited them at all. You're going to learn why in this chapter. Truth operates equally for all those who dedicate themselves to the practice of truth. I underline that. There must be the practice. There's two things I want you to remember in this chapter. I should probably look it up, but I'll do that. Hang on. In this one chapter, he mentions the word conscious, as in conscious awareness, or conscious practice, or consciously, and he says that you must consciously do this. And he says it 22 times. But I also want you to notice how often he says practice. Those two words, consciously practice. are the missing link. And so he says, truth operates equally for all those who dedicate themselves to the practice of truth. But there must be the practice. That is what separates those who are attaining spiritual living from those who are not. Not many more now seem willing to undertake the work of knowing the truth. It's much easier to say, oh, God is good, God is love, or God is present, and let it go at that. But repeating words or cliches never works. And so here's the first one. To live under grace, you must consciously negate the laws of the world. And by an activity of consciousness, become aware of the law of God operating in your experience. So you have to do this consciously. You have to practice consciously negating the laws of the world, and by an activity of consciousness, become aware of the law of God operating in your experience. The law of God is grace. The law of Moses is law. If you live under the law of Moses, it's actually not Moses' law, but he revealed it. If you live under the law, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you live under grace, there's no you there to sow anymore. Spirit lives through you. Spirit and grace are one, so you open out a way for Spirit to flow, and then grace lives your life. And Spirit, you're sowing to the Spirit, or Spirit's doing the sowing. Grace is doing the sowing. What I have been telling you, he says, is based on a very early unfoldment. I saw that nothing could happen to me except through my consciousness. God could be filling all space around me, which of course it is, and yet not one bit of God could touch me, could touch my life, unless I consciously opened, there it is, consciously opened my consciousness to receive Him. And as many as received Him live by grace. So there's got to be some sort of activity in your consciousness. He said to live under grace, there must be an activity of consciousness. What is that activity? You have to consciously open your consciousness to receive Him. God will not do it. It is keeping your mind stayed on God that brings the activity of God into your experience. Now, we all remember when we were in metaphysics only. As for me, I demonstrated I took a piece of paper and I wrote on it, a woman who is blonde loves God and is passionate. And you can have both. You can be passionate and love God. Then I put it in a God box or something, put it in the cupboard, in the closet up high where nobody could find it, and let it go. And according to Joseph Murphy, my subconscious started to work on it. Well, it took, let's see, about 6 or 7 years, and all of a sudden I met Madeline. We're coming up 3 days from now. On the 5th of July was our wedding anniversary. Would have been 33 years. Anyway, she was blonde, she loved God, and she was very passionate about everything she did. Her work with kids was phenomenal. So, I demonstrated what I wrote down. And another time, I wanted a Dodge Caravan because I needed one. I thought I needed one to work with these kids. You know, you got to put them somewhere. And we had three of them at the time. So I put a picture of a Dodge Caravan on my refrigerator. And I let the metaphysics of the thing go to work. And sure enough, about 6 months later, I had a Dodge Caravan. And somehow one came into my life that I could afford. Okay, so those are metaphysics. That's using the mind to demonstrate. And it works. And the Dodge Caravan was good. I drove it for a long time until I traded it on something else. And Madeline and I lived and loved each other for 33 years. Both of us placing God first and each other second. And I have to continue with that. I have to remember to continue with that. God first. All right, so I bring that up because we're used to practicing principles in order to get something we think we need or we want. But now we're entering mysticism, and it's a little different. And so he says, God will not do it. It is you. You must acknowledge that God governs your day. God governs your purse. God governs your business. God governs your household. God governs your relationships with all mankind. You must bring God into your experience by a conscious act of your consciousness. And so there's the whole thing. That's the whole chapter right there. You just do that right there and you can skip this chapter. Alright, so what is the conscious activity? Well, he says you have to know, acknowledge that God governs your day. So it's different for everybody. I don't know how you do it. What I do is I sit in meditation and I listen. And I may rehearse one or two scriptures or something that's been given to me. I may sit still and say to myself, you don't have to work that hard. Or in respect of my human life, I may sit still and realize, you haven't got one. Now both of those were given to me from within. And another time I may take, thy grace is my sufficiency. It seems to stop the struggle when I can remember that. And so I get quiet and I remember that scripture. I just kind of look at it once or twice and then I'm quiet. I'm listening. I'm receptive. I'm ready to receive Him. And something may come, and something may not come. I may feel the presence, which I do quite a bit. I waited until I felt it before I started today's talk. And so that's my way of recognizing that God governs my day. I feel that presence and I relax into it. Or, as happened last week, I was in meditation and I received, if it is not received as an impartation from within, it is not power. Wow, that's something, really. Because what's received in impartation within as an impartation? Well, you don't have to work that hard. And relaxing into the presence, that is an impartation from within. That has power. Everything else that looks like power is not, because it's not received from as an impartation. If you receive Him, He gives you power. To them gives He power. We could have a talk on that, couldn't we? That'd be a good one, too. So I received that. So sometimes I receive principle in words, or rather in thoughts. But they're thoughts that are received. Okay? They're received. You're just sitting there, and it comes. It just comes. It seeps in from within. And you know, you learn to tell the difference. Usually when I think a thought, I search around for one. What was that I was thinking yesterday? What did I think last week? What was it I was thinking about this morning, you know? What is that scripture that says... And so I'm searching, I'm looking for a thought. And then I find it, and I rehearse it, and it doesn't do anything. But, or however, when I get still, and I listen, and I receive Him as an impartation, now that thought comes with power. And it's demonstrable. Alright, so I don't know why I got off on that, but... You must bring God into your experience by a conscious act of your consciousness. And put stars on that, brackets, underline, and then go into your closet to ask you yourself how you would practice that, how you should practice that. Many passages in the Bible indicate that in proportion as you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, none of the evils of the world can come nigh your dwelling place. It will not come nigh the dwelling place of the person who dwells and lives consciously in the realization of God's presence, God's power, and God's grace. Yeah, 22 times he says consciously, which means that yes, you're to have a meditation, and if it comes to you that you live by grace, thy grace is my sufficiency, then you relax in it and are still. However, comma, as you get up and go about your business, you are to begin practicing consciously remembering that grace is your sufficiency. All right, so he's going to tell you more about that. If you are to make the transition from being a person whose life is not God-governed to one whose life is God-governed, there is a price to be paid. See, it's not just singing songs about how good God is and then going on about your business. There's a price. It costs something. And I can tell you that the first year or 2 years, the price is high. And the way is hard. It means consciously remembering the presence from morning to night. Now, I don't know how he can put it any plainer. If you're looking for an easier, softer way, this ain't it. The first year or two, the price is high, the way is hard. You must consciously remember the presence from morning to night. Now he's going to give you some tips on how to do that. Now, you remember when we practiced metaphysics and demonstrated a car or a wife or a husband or a job or a new lung? When we demonstrated those things, the first thing we did was we put them into our mind, right? So that our subconscious could go to work on them. This is a little different. It's a higher step. We're going to practice putting God into our consciousness. We're going to practice putting God in our mind, in our soul. We're going to practice consciously knowing omnipresence. And when it takes over, wow, we'll be living a life of grace under omnipresence. We will have demonstrated the kingdom of heaven. As Joel has said somewhere, we don't discard, we evolve. So the principles we used in metaphysics evolve into a higher form in mysticism, in mystical principles. This is called making the Word of God a conscious part of your activity. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some of you may say, I have not been able to prove that. But have you been obeying Scripture in living by the Word of God? If you have, the moment a problem comes to you that causes any concern, immediately there would flash into your thought, I am not alone in this. I do not have to meet it alone. There is a He within me that is greater than this problem. The presence of God is here. Then comes that relaxing from human strain and that feeling of being picked up by the infinite invisible, by the presence that is always within you. Do you see what's going on here? I want you to understand this because if you haven't been getting the results, if you still have problems, this may be why, because you've never really understood this. So let's not walk away from this chapter after one reading. Let's put it into practice and maybe read it several times. Have you been obeying Scripture and living by the Word of God? So that means when you come onto a problem in your existence, you're supposed to stop and say, I'm not alone. I don't have to meet it alone. There's a He within me that's greater than this problem. The presence of God is right here. And then you're supposed to relax from personal strain and feel being picked up by the infinite invisible, by the presence that is always within you. So you see, the presence is always within you, but you don't feel it. You don't have an awareness of it. And you sit and you meditate and you read the books, listen to the talks, but then you go to your business in the morning and forget all about it. Lunchtime comes and you say, oh gosh, I've forgotten all about it. And you have maybe a little reading or a quiet moment at lunch, and then you go on back into work, and before you know it, it's 5 o'clock, it's time to go home, and you've forgotten again. And then you go home, you make dinner, you get your feet up, put on some nice music, soft music, whatever you like, and sit down to read a novel, and you realize, oh my God, another day, and I've forgotten. You see, you're not practicing living by the Word. And then a big problem comes, and you're like, oh my God. Then you have to call for help, because you haven't been living by the Word. Now listen carefully to what he says you must consciously do. Now it doesn't have to be this statement here that He within me is greater than this problem. It can be something else. It can be something else that comes to you. It could be, okay, I'm going to get still. This is too much for me. And so you get still and you listen. You don't hear anything. But in the listening, you relax. Personal effort stops. You stop. And because you stop, you create an opening. An opening through which you can receive Him. And He can begin to express as grace living your life. The moment you begin to live in and through the Word of God, by making it a conscious part of your daily activity, your life begins to change. Then the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, because by an act of your own consciousness, you have brought it out of dormancy into life. You see? See, you do that. How can I get more God into my experience? You must bring it out. By a conscious act of your consciousness. You have brought God into your life by your acknowledgement that the kingdom of God is within you. That there is a He within you that is greater than any problem in the world, and that God sent to you His Son, who dwells with you and is within you. Now, most of us have read Practicing the Presence. It was the second book that was suggested by Joel. I think it was Living the Infinite Way and then Practicing the Presence. And most of us have read that. Now, I don't know what you did, but I read Practicing the Presence and I thought, wow, this is pretty good. And I think I remembered 4 or 5 times to actually do what it said. And I forgot about it. I wanted to, what's the most advanced infinite way teaching? Yeah, who is this Herb Fitch guy? I just wanted to jump right to the highest there was. But life wouldn't let me do that. And so, my wife of the time, April was her name, ran off with another guy who was supposed to be our friend. And it forced me to practice the presence in order to keep from going insane. Because I couldn't think of anything else but her and what she might be doing with that guy. And I couldn't get those thoughts out of my mind. But I found in The Art of Meditation, the chapter called For Love is of God, and I decided to practice that principle. I decided to transfer my love. Well, I didn't decide it. My teacher told me that was the only path to freedom. And he's the one that gave me The Art of Meditation, so I believed him. He said, you've got to transfer your love from her to God. And so I didn't know how to do that, but I began practicing out of necessity. They say necessity is the mother of invention, so necessity in my life was the mother of practicing the presence, because I had to find a way to live without her and without the pain. And it worked. Pretty soon I began to feel the presence in everyone and everything. What did he say? He said for the first year it was hard work. It was hard work for a month. And then I began to see results. So I can tell you, this works. If you haven't done this, this explains why you're not getting results. This is the part that we have to consciously do. And I've had to go back several times to find out what I missed in the infinite way. Over the period of 50 years, I've had to go back and say, I miss the nature of error. I better go look at it again. And I contacted Arizona at the time, and I bought every single tape there was ever made on the nature of error. So I take this seriously. I want to know. I don't want to play with it. This is my life. All right, so you have brought God into your life by your acknowledgement that the kingdom of God is within you. Even the Master said, I can of my own self do nothing. But the Father within, the infinite invisible that God planted in you in the beginning before Abraham was, makes it possible for you to do all things and for all things to be done through you. Nothing is impossible to the Christ. Where is the Christ? It is the Spirit of God in you. Nothing is impossible to it. So as long as you can abide in the Word of God, realizing that there is an infinite presence within you, this presence will go before you to smooth out every rough place in your path. Well, that's a promise. You might put a star next to that. As long as you can abide in the Word of God. Ah, there's that responsibility again. I must abide in the Word of God. Realizing there's an infinite presence within you, then this presence will go before you to smooth out every rough place in your path. So when he said that we're supposed to start by practicing the presence, and then we can add meditation, and further, I remember him saying that if you are practicing the presence and meditating, those two together, it won't take long before you have the capital E experience of God and God's presence. You must have, now this is called the foundation stones for a life of prayer. Now, I've seen the foundation of the house I'm sitting in, because at one time we had to tear out the floors, which were made out of wood, tear out the floors downstairs and put in, dig out the foundation, because they built this house originally too close to the ground. So we would experience some mold and stuff on the paneling, the pine paneling. So we took off and went to Disney World and took the kids down there. And I paid a guy $14,000 to come in and take wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow of dirt out, and then put in the blue board that goes around the outside, and then put in a vapor layer. I think it was black plastic and gravel or something like that, and then put in a subfloor, and then a brand new floor made out of wood. That was expensive, but we haven't had a bit of problem since then with moisture. So I know what a foundation looks like. Here he says, this is the foundation. This practicing the presence is a foundation for a life of prayer. You must have at least 3 periods a day. He's going to increase that. These are different talks and different letters he wrote. You must have, that's why there's discrepancies. But the principles are the same. You must have 3 periods a day for prayer, meditation, and inner communion. Eventually, from 20 to 30 each day. True, some of them may be 1 minute or even as short as 10, 20, or 30 seconds, but they will bring the realization, "Thank you, Father. There is no power of destruction, but the power of God's grace is here where I am." 1 minute of this 20 times a day would change your life so rapidly that soon your friends and relatives would not recognize you. I don't know how you're going to practice this, but I know what he's asking for. He's asking for you to practice meditation. Go ahead and read a little if you want to. Listen to a talk. But when you get up from that, begin to practice the presence 20 to 30 times a day. And he'll give you in this chapter the same thing he gave you in the book, Practicing the Presence, little tips on how you can do it. The point is that we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Instead of letting it just coast and get into all sorts of different things, we're going to take control of it. We're going to grab it up and start practicing these principles 20 or 30 times a day, even if it is 10, 20, or 30 seconds a time. 1 minute of this 20 times a day would change your life. That is where the difficulty comes in. You intend to do it 20 times a day and you forget 18 times. That makes no difference, since tomorrow you will probably forget it only 17 times. By the end of the week, you will not forget so often. Then, when the fruitage rolls in, you will never let it get away from you. Through these short meditations, you have the assurance in the midst of your normal day's living that you are continuing in and under God's grace. To practice meditation of only a few seconds duration, you do not have to close your eyes. You do not even have to sit down. You can pray while in your office, working, at home, cooking, or house cleaning, or while you're driving your car. Regardless of what you are doing with your body, you can give 10 seconds to this. I in God and God in me, where I am, God is. You see what he's doing? You see what you must practice? You don't make a transition from grace, from law to grace, by reading about it, having a meditation, and going about your business. There's a price to be paid. It's hard work for a year or two. But once you have it, well, he'll tell you. I and God in me, that is enough. Another hour comes and it's underneath are the everlasting arms. Here, where I am, God is. And that meditation, too, is enough. You see, it's not the words, it's not the thoughts, it's that you're remembering God. And you're opening the door of your consciousness each time you do this. And when you open the door of your consciousness, I will come in and sup with him. And you will receive him. Then your experience becomes the Son of God. God manifested. God's grace. You see, it's all the same. It's all one. But you must get in here and practice this, along with your prayer and meditation. And another hour, I live, yet not I. I live not by might nor by power, but by God's grace. Yes, and you can even use that one. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Another hour, you might look at a tree and realize day and night the life of God is animating that tree. Never less than once in every hour must there be these 10 seconds of conscious remembrance. I am God and God in me. I live by grace, not by might nor by power. So let me be still and know that I in the midst of me am God. Now 20 times a day, if you are up and about 18 hours a day, like most of us are, then there's 18 of them right there, once an hour. Plus once when you first wake up, plus once when you go to bed. So there's 20. Just 10 seconds now and then are enough to keep you consciously in the atmosphere of God, to serve to fulfill Scripture in your experience, and to maintain the contact between you and your source. Wherever you are, you must have a 10-second period every little while to remember, the grace of God is upon me. Well, we're already up to 52 minutes, and I'm not even halfway, so I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is going to be part one of two parts of praying without ceasing. Those of us who are trying to live the life of prayer, that's you and I, engage in all the natural and normal activities that are a part of everyday living, and we do all things that for the time being are necessary. We eat our breakfast, lunch, and dinner because they are as much a part of our day's life as our daily bath. Then we dismiss these routine activities from our mind so that the rest of our time can be spent in prayer. This does not mean that we are praying all the time. It means that we are in prayer. Aha! Now there's something to take into your meditation or to ponder. It does not mean we're praying all the time. It means we are in prayer. We are in prayer. To be in prayer means to be in a listening attitude, in an inner stillness, not cluttered up with outside noises. Then, if the voice should speak, we are able to hear it. So, then he begins a section called Practicing the Presence, and I think that's where we'll start next week. Do you understand this? I want you to understand this. It's not enough to just practice meditation 3 times a day. And go on about your life. Well, it is enough if you're comfortable with that. But remember what Joel said was that we reach a stage where we're comfortable and we start to coast. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but I have never coasted uphill. At least not very far. When I coast, I start to roll backwards downhill. So, I've got to not just have these 3 periods of meditation. I've got to practice remembering God once an hour. And remembering in such a way that I rest in it. And it's different every time, like he pointed out. I think today it started with, Thy grace is my sufficiency. And then, I switched over to just one word because it says everything to me. And that word is omnipresence. And so I say, omnipresence. And I rest in it. Where the kingdom of God is, where the spirit is, where consciousness is, there is liberty. Whithersoever thou goest, I within you go. You see? It's just a one-liner, just one scripture. To him that hath, it shall be given. All that the Father has is mine. And so once an hour, you're resting back in the presence. And when your mind is stayed on God, you're in perfect peace and ease. Your day is in perfect peace and ease because you're no longer dwelling in the kingdom of law. You're dwelling in the kingdom of grace, and grace lives your life, and you see it and you feel it everywhere. And people that come to you or call you or write you, they feel it too. Sometimes people passing you in a store. I went to Disney World that time I was telling you about, and I used to get this experience quite a bit. So I better go back to practicing this. I walked up to a guy and I asked to rent something there at Disney World. And he said, "Don't I know you? I've met you somewhere, haven't I?" And I used to get that a lot, an awful lot. And what they were recognizing is God, of course, on a higher level, but they couldn't understand that with their mind. So they would say, "Haven't I met you somewhere?" I used to get that a lot, everywhere. So maybe that's a clue of whether or not I'm practicing this right, huh? I admit I've eased up on it, but I'm going to get back to it starting today, or actually yesterday and this week since I read this chapter. Really, when you make this a habit, I don't know how to explain this. I'm going to try. It won't do you any good just to repeat statements of truth. That's not what this is for. It's not the statements of truth that you're repeating in your mind that are going to change you and your living experience. No. It is the moment of stillness after the statement of truth that teaches you and brings you to a state of consciousness where you consciously receive Him. It's the state of stillness in which you are receiving Him. That is what makes the difference. So your meditation, your prayer period, 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and night, is one thing. And you can have that for 15 minutes or a half an hour. Whatever feels comfortable. But then, once an hour, 20 times, you are to remember something. It can be a scripture, thy grace is my sufficiency, or it can be something that was imparted to you. I don't have to work that hard. Thank you, Father. And you see, that's the rest. That's the rest. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Wait a minute. I don't have to work that hard. He performs that which is appointed for me to do. You see, it's that that resting in consciousness, listening. This is what the training is for, not so that you can memorize a lot of scriptures. The training is to teach you to be receptive so that you can receive Him. And then you become the Son of God, the expression of God, the grace of God in demonstration. And instead of demonstrating a caravan or a woman or a man, you demonstrate the fullness of God. You demonstrate grace. Grace for all time. You demonstrate I forever. You demonstrate oneness. Well, we'll have to look at the other half next week, because we are now over an hour, and I hope it was as good for you as it was for me. And thank you for pulling it out, and I'll talk to you next week, if not before, in an email. Thank you.